Sunshine and 61 degrees right now in Wilmington. Back to Rick Jensen on WDEL.
All right, supporters of legalizing marijuana, cannabis, in Delaware say that looks like they have the votes at Legg Hall. Tomorrow, committee will be voting on the marijuana bill to bring it out to a vote, and they think they have the votes for that as well. Opposition to legalizing marijuana now has been focusing on DUI, driving under the influence. Well, you know, what do you do? We have reports that more and more people are driving under the influence in Colorado, and it turns out the reports really mean that more people have been admitting to smoking marijuana because it's legal there now, and it's part of other problems. Alcohol and prescription drugs, legal and illegal. So what do you do about DUI? We had Ken Grant on with AAA Mid-Atlantic, and they said that, you know, if there's a way to test for this effectively, they would not be against this bill. And they're lobbying heavily against the bill, including a guy who called in from Colorado and said, well, if you want tax money out of this for revenue, don't bother, it all goes into bureaucracy. Well, I double-checked on that. Turns out what he said was not true. Plenty of money, millions of dollars coming in for education as well as bureaucracy and other items as well. So, wondering about DUI, as this bill, House Bill 110, goes to vote in committee tomorrow, the expectation is it'll pass, it'll be brought out to the floor for a vote. And then anti-DUI positioning occurs. So there are two attorneys on the phone right now. DUI attorney Adam Wendett and DUI attorney Tom Donovan. Adam, Tom, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys. And if I ask you a question, you could say which one you are, or what your name is. I've also heard that AAA Mid-Atlantic is going to pull a stunt tomorrow where they're going to have people there with so-called weed goggles that are supposed to simulate how a person cannot drive well and things if they're smoking pot. Tom, I understand you know about these goggles. Is that right, sir?
Well, yeah, this is Tom, and actually, Adam, I was going to let him answer this question, but I will tell you,
okay,
this is my 17th year in practicing criminal defense, and for as long as I can remember, way back 17 years ago, it's always been against the law to drive under the influence of any drug, alcohol, cannabis, prescription drugs, you name it, it's against the law. So it's always been against the law to drive under the influence, and there are tests, actual scientific-based tests, to show whether or not somebody is under the influence of a drug, alcohol, cannabis, or another drug, an opiate or a prescription drug. But as far as the goggles go, I'll let Adam handle that.
All right, Adam, tell us about these the goggle stunt.
You know, Rick, you call it a stunt. You can call it scare tactics. You can call it intellectual dishonesty. You know, these goggles are marketed as a marijuana simulation experience. And the company that makes these goggles, they say that they're a hands-on awareness-building tool that models the distorted processing of visual information, loss of motor coordination, decision-making, reaction time from recreational cannabis use. And what these goggles actually are, they're a scare tactic. It's green lenses. They filter out the wearer's ability to see the color red. And then the person wearing the goggles is asked to complete tasks that require seeing the color red. So essentially what they're doing with this tactic is they're taking red, the ability to see red and that portion of the visual spectrum away from the person, and then having them do tasks that they couldn't possibly complete. They're making them colorblind.
So when somebody is high on pot, can they not see the color red?
No, actually...
No, they cannot?
They're not colorblind, and there's actually been reports from the National Institute on Drug Abuse that a person under the influence of cannabis actually has altered senses that include seeing brighter colors.
Okay, so anyway, what you're saying is the whole thing is a fear-mongering hoax.
It is,
It's a hoax.
They take out the color red and then give you tests. What kind of tests do they give you in which you must see the color red? Like identifying a stoplight or something?
Well, one of the tests, and they have you perform both tests, one not wearing the goggles and one wearing the goggles. One of the tests is they have a black balls and red balls, and they throw the balls at the user, and the wearer of the goggles is supposed to catch the black ball and dodge the red ball. So when you put on the goggles, you can't see which one is red and which one is black. other tests include navigating a maze that has red lines on it and following the red lines. Another is reacting to red flashing lights. All of the activities are designed to utilize the color red after taking that color out of the person's visible spectrum.
I have a more interesting way of doing this. What we could do is take people who are supportive of legalizing cannabis here in Delaware and dunk them in water, hold them underwater for a good 5 or 10 minutes. And if they drown, it means that they're not high and they can go home. No, that's not a good idea. It's been done before, I think. All right, so let's get back to DUI. You guys have both successfully, I take it, defended people in DUI cases. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. In Colorado, I was reading a story in Colorado where there's a mom. She was driving home. She likes to smoke pot. She had not smoked, I guess, for like 2 or 3 days, but she got pulled over for speeding, and the officer smelled it in her car and said, well, I'm arresting you for being under the influence, yada, yada, yada. And she said, I haven't smoked until like 3 days. And she agreed to a blood sample. So they found a little bit of the THC, and they said, well, there you go. But she got a hold of an attorney. They went to court. And the attorney said, well, there's no way of knowing how much of THC in the bloodstream can actually affect one's ability to drive. So she actually, she got off. She got her license back, the whole thing. The whole thing was thrown out of court because they said they had no real good measurement. Is there now any kind of measurement that's meaningful, like, you know, 0.08 blood alcohol content? Is there anything like that when it comes to the active ingredient in cannabis?
Actually, Rick, there isn't. This is Tom. And, you know, the alcohol test is the exception, not the rule. You can't test for opiates. You can't test for prescription drugs in a quantitative manner either. However, that technology is being developed right now in other states that have legalized cannabis. But I will tell you, the presence of THC in someone's blood is not an indicator at all, is not a risk factor indicator in any of the studies they've done, the biggest one being the study in 2015 by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which concluded that the presence of THC in one's bloodstream is no more likely to have been a cause for a crash than anyone who was sober.
Now, in that same study that I was reading, but I don't have it in front of me, so I'm easily challenged. But in that same study, they'd shown that incidents of DUI with alcohol are decreasing, and they're finding more and more DUIs of people who are abusing drugs of all kinds, marijuana being thrown in there as well. What do you say to that?
Well, first, I think education on the risk factors of driving impaired has probably greatly decreased the incidence of DUIs for alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way to go. Education, truthful, honest information, scientific-based information is what people need to hear, not about fake goggles. The other part of that, the other half of that study says they didn't really test for the presence of other drugs prior to legalization, if you will. You know, just a couple of years ago, they started testing the blood to see what else was in people's system. So you can't really draw much of a conclusion other than people use drugs at a fairly, you know, at some sort of rate. But it doesn't.
Now, I was told by this guy in California, I mean, sorry, in Colorado, with AAA, that said, yes, they would always test for drugs and such like that in fatalities and have done it for many, many years. Are you saying that that's not accurate or that it is?
Well, Rick, this is Adam.
Hey, Adam.
In 2016, Andrew Friedman, who's with the Colorado's Governor's Office of Marijuana Coordination,
he testified before a committee of Vermont lawmakers, and what he said was the hardest part about drug driving is that they weren't tracking it before they legalized marijuana. So they actually don't have the data there, and this is coming directly from the Colorado governor's office, that they weren't tracking it, that they've begun tracking it more after legalization. So, you know, it'd be the equivalent of saying, you know, if I went out fishing today and stood on the shore and cast a line out and caught two fish, and then I go out tomorrow in a boat with a net and catch 12, that doesn't mean that there's more fish in that pond. It just means that I'm using better tools to go out there and capture. So there's been increased testing, which isn't necessarily indicative of increased use or consumption by drivers.
Is that testing amongst fatalities or those who have survived the accidents?
Well, actually, they don't always test in the fatalities. And the issue with the testing and the fatalities, and this is often noted in the reports that do that type of testing, is that when they do the testing and they find the presence of THC, what the authors of these reports aren't mentioning is that the presence of THC isn't necessarily the active metabolite, and they're not distinguishing between the active and inactive metabolites in cannabis. So it could be cannabis that was consumed weeks earlier. And all of these studies note that the presence of THC in a driver's system, one, it's not indicative that the driver who was found had cannabis on their system was actually the cause of the crash, and two, the presence of THC in the system is not necessarily indicative of impairment.
All right, guys, hang on, please, in anticipation of the vote on the House Bill 110 in committee tomorrow, which is the legalization of cannabis in Delaware. We have attorneys Adam Windett and Tom Donovan here on the phone. My question to you listening is, are you worried about folks smoking pot and then getting behind the wheel? And if so, do you think it's going to happen more after it's legalized than now? All right, upstate 529-1017, downstate 839-1059. All right, so Delaware's cannabis bill will be voted on in committee tomorrow. The guess is it will be voted out of committee and come to the floor for a vote. On the phone right now, two attorneys, Adam Windett and Tom Donovan, both involved with the legalization of cannabis, and they're talking about DUIs and how you measure for that, and is it even meaningful? Guys, I appreciate you being on. I want to get to Henry in Wilmington. 529-1017 is the upstate number. Henry, you got a question for the attorneys Adam and Tom?
Yeah, in regards to legalizing marijuana, would that allow them to be sold and taxed in the state of Delaware?
Guys, did you hear that? He wants to know if it means that it'll just be allowed to be sold and taxed in Delaware.
Well, I mean, they would create an industry in Delaware, and it would be taxed and regulated. The state would collect tax revenue. The way the bill's written, it's a 39-page bill. 50% is earmarked to go towards certain programs, education, drug rehab, reentry programs, and education on alcohol, tobacco, and cannabis prevention, use, and scientific information.
There you go. So the answer is yes, Henry.
The other question I have is there any way of certifying that the marijuana is grown in the United States in areas that it's allowed to grow rather than the stuff that's brought over the border or smuggled in?
Yeah, good point, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reason why we've been advocating for a legal and regulated system is so that we know where the cannabis comes from and how the conditions that it's grown under. Right now, cannabis on the street can be laced with harmful pesticides. It can have mold and stuff like that. But it would be a regulated industry that would be quality controlled, and it would be seed to plant. So there would be no clones or plants shipped into the state. It would be all done from a seed.
Henry, I appreciate the call. If you have any questions or comments, legalizing marijuana here in Delaware. Upstate 529-1017, downstate 839-1059. It's 839-1059, which is also the text number as well. I have a text. Okay, we'll get to a text message after the news because the news is coming up in about 3 minutes here, and I want you to know, folks, on the phone right now, our attorneys Adam Windett and Tom Donovan. They've both handled a lot of DUI cases. And I guess maybe a lot of us, Adam, Tom, really don't understand the nature of driving under the influence. DUI, we think of it as alcohol. Oh, if you blow over 0.08, then you're drunk and that's it. But when it comes to prescription drugs, when it comes to illegal pharmaceuticals and such, there's really no testing for that, is there, or is there?
Rick, this is Adam. And, you know, I think that would be inaccurate to say that there's no testing for that. There's actually testing for alcohol and prescription drugs and all illegal drugs, and it's a variety of different things. You have the officer's observations. You have standard field sobriety tests that can be conducted. And then also, if there's probable cause to actually take the person into custody, a blood test can be performed. For alcohol, they can use blood or a breathalyzer test. But for other substances, they can use a blood test. And specifically with regard to cannabis, a distinction can be drawn between the active metabolites in cannabis and inactive, where they can do a blood test that would show recent consumption at some point in the past.
All right, guys, hang on. I have to get to news. When we come back, I want to repeat that counter that with the words of Louis Ferreira, a famous DUI attorney that says you don't want to do the field test.
Jensen Show on 101.7 FM and 1150 AM WDEL.
So, tomorrow, Delaware's cannabis bill could come out of committee. There's a vote, and by the way, just like Colin Benigni, who ran for governor, Republican, I hope it does. I'd like to see. We've talked about this many, many times on the show. I go back personally to William F. Buckley, really one of the leaders of conservative thought here in America, founder of ISI, which is right here in Delaware now, which is an organization that promotes conservative thought, books, literature in colleges and such. On the phone right now, we have Adam Wendett and Tom Donovan. They're both attorneys. They both work in criminal justice, criminal law. They are both supportive of the cannabis bill for a number of different reasons. And your questions and comments are welcome. Upstate, 529-1017. Downstate, 839-1059. Before we get to their take on DUI, what is a DUI? And is there a real need to be concerned about marijuana DUI should become legal? We'll get to that. First, let's get to Rocky in Salisbury, Maryland. Rocky, it's Rick. You're on with Adam and Tom.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Good afternoon. I've got so many things to say about this issue, but I'll stick with the present discussion anyway. I'm a long-time user of marijuana since I was 14 years old. I also went to a drug rehabilitation center due to alcoholism, and it's been 25 years since I've been clean and sober, but due to my illness, I went back to marijuana for my choice of medicine, and it's kept me alive for the last 15 years past my prognosis. Now, going back to the DUIs, I don't know why they keep going back to testing for substances in the blood when it comes to psychotropics, because marijuana, you smoke a little bit of it, it actually enhances your thinking and your judgment to a certain extent, but if person that would abuse marijuana, like if somebody said two joints and a couple of edibles, even a regular user would not do something like that and get behind the wheel. And that's the first thing, then the funniest thing of it all. If you want to check a marijuana user's capability to drive, to operate machinery, all you have to do is sit down and give them an oral test.
Well, someone like yourself will not smoke marijuana and drive. However, there are hundreds of thousands of people across the country who do.
Yes, I am. I'm not going to disagree with that. That is quite a powerful thing. But, you know, it's like the way I look at American freedom. You know, it's not the freedom that's the problem. It's how we handle it. And, yes, I agree. You know, we have to find a way to do this, you know, to take care of this. But like I said, a simple question-answer test on the road will show how stoned a person is and if he can drive or not.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I am very grateful for all those people that are working on this issue, and I hope something good comes out of this, because I've done a lot of different drugs in my life, and I would state over my own health and my sanity that marijuana has not harmed me in any sense.
And you said it has helped you and saved your life. All right, appreciate that. Let's get back to Adam Wendett and Tom Donovan. Adam, is there anything you'd like to say overall about the war on drugs?
The war on drugs? Oh, you know, it's been a failure. It's, you know, it's done nothing to decrease demand or the supply of drugs, particularly cannabis, but specifically focusing on cannabis. You know, what we've seen is, you know, a growing public acceptance. We've seen more and more scientific research coming out that's dispelling many things that people believed about cannabis in the past. We continue spending enforcing laws that the public doesn't support, nor are they supported by scientific research. You know, I like to look at things from an economic model, considering the cost and benefits of every policy decision. And in weighing the cost and benefits of cannabis prohibition, I think it very clearly falls to where we should be considering legalization just purely based on a cost-benefit analysis.
So we had somebody on from AAA in Colorado saying, cost-benefit analysis? Oh, no, it doesn't save any money. All the money goes to bureaucracy to oversee and distribute it. A lot of it is because the federal government is still seeing it as illegal. So it's very, very difficult to you know, have banking accounts and things like that. Have you studied that angle of the business, either one of you, Tom or Adam?
Yeah, just Adam. To some degree, yes. Actually, Colorado publishes the numbers where the money goes in their system, and quite a large portion of that tax revenue has gone to public schools in Colorado. They actually had an excess beyond what they thought they were going to collect there. So any statement that all of the money is going to bureaucracy is simply false.
All right, DUIs. I want to get to Tom here. Tom, more on DUI. I know that's what they're going to hear a lot tomorrow. From AAA, Mid-Atlantic especially, as you have members of the House Revenue and Finance Committee, will be hearing this, hopefully voting to bring it out to the floor about 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. So they're going to hear a lot about DUI. They're going to use these phony baloney weed goggles that do nothing except eliminate the red from the colors one sees, and then they throw a red ball and a black ball at you, and you can't catch the red ball. They say, oh, wow, you must be high on pot. You can't drive. So what is it that we really don't know and should understand about DUIs, Tom?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I am a criminal defense attorney, but I'm also a father, and I have 3 kids, and I have open and honest conversations with my kids. One of the things that House Bill 110 will do is to educate children in schools about the dangers of driving under the influence of any drug. I don't want anyone to get behind the wheel who's under the influence of any drug, okay? Because it will limit your ability to operate a vehicle in a safe and effective manner. Public safety is the key, and no one is discounting public safety. We advocate for responsible adult use, not use for minors, not use behind the wheel. As a criminal defense attorney, We find ways to defend our clients all the time. Specifically, with DUIs and cannabis, we know that there's not Sorry about that.
That's okay. You were obviously distracted.
I'm still working in the office right now.
Okay. So we'll get to the end of that sentence in a moment. While one of your coworkers came in or had to hand you a document or something?
Yep.
And Adam, are you still there too?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So do you want to finish what Tom was saying about, you know, kids and education and what you do and don't know about marijuana and DUIs?
Well, you know, the key with educational programs with regard to cannabis, with regard to alcohol, with regard to any drug, is they have to be fact-based. There's been many studies on how we do drug prevention and alcohol programs, and when you use scare tactics and when you use dishonesty, it doesn't work. It actually could be counterproductive. And I would suggest that what AAA is doing with these marijuana goggles and what other groups are doing when they use scare tactics, if you teach young children and you say, here are the effects of cannabis, and don't drive when after you've consumed cannabis, if they later find out that you lied to them or exaggerated the effects, they're going to start to question whether they should drive the other half of that, what they were told. So the problem with what AAA is doing and the problem with these cannabis goggles and the problem with scare tactics and when you move away from fact-based education is that if you lie to people about one thing, how are they going to believe you when you tell them not to drive after consuming drugs?
No, that's fair enough. You know, you have some pretty powerful organizations against you on this bill, the Delaware Police Chiefs Association, Delaware Healthcare Association, the Medical Society of Delaware, State Chamber of Commerce. What do you think your chances are of getting this bill out of committee and to the floor for voting with those organizations against you?
I think it's coming out of committee and it's going to the House floor.
Yep. And I've heard from many, many people that if it does, they do have the votes at the House. Is that what you've heard as well?
I've heard that they do have the votes in the House.
And the Senate?
I've heard that they have the votes in both the House and the Senate, but I guess we'll see.
And Carney has said that he's opposed to it. Some suggested because he was goofing around about it at the gridiron on Saturday night that maybe he's coming around. I have not heard he's coming around. What do you know about Governor John Carney's take? Do you think he might veto it or sign it if the rest of Delaware says they want it?
Well, I don't know that he's for or opposed. I think it's something that he's taking under careful consideration, which I think in his position as governor, I think what he's doing is quite responsible. Now, as the debate continues for the next couple of months and this bill is voted on in the House and the Senate, I would expect that Governor Carney will continue to do his research and that when he does so, I think he's going to start to see that the arguments that our organization is making and that supporters of legalization are making are based on science and fact, and that it actually is in the state's best interest that the benefits of a tax and regulated system far outweigh any associated costs.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to criminal attorneys Adam Wendett and Tom Donovan, who apparently are sick and tired of making money by defending people who have small amounts of marijuana, and they want to move on to some other criminal activities. So, or defending other criminal activities. I mentioned Louis Ferrara before. He's a guy that I've known for many years, retired now, and in my opinion, considered the probably the most successful DUI attorney in Delaware. I know that you guys know him and you respect him. He has been on the show many, many times because he's very, very successful. I would suggest possibly the most successful in Delaware. Of course, you guys are young. You can catch him. And he always told great stories because of the number of cases he had. But he said this, and it goes right to what you, Tom, were saying, I believe, and I think Adam was talking about this as well. You know, you have tests for THC, for pharmaceuticals, things like that. They can take blood samples and such. What Lewis always taught, and he said so on the show, is if you ever get pulled over, be respectful and say, I will abide by anything you want, officer, but I choose not to take a field test. I will abide by anything you want to do, officer. I will obey every order you give me, but I choose not to have a blood test taken. In other words, be polite, be respectful, and just tell them politely that you choose not to take a field test or whatever. The cops will say, well, we have to take you in. You say, that is fine, sir. I will gladly go peacefully with you. And you just do everything they say. You're going to go to jail. You do that. But you don't get the field test, you don't get the blood test, things like that. If that's what people do, then you're not going to know if somebody has either a pharmaceutical in the bloodstream, THC. What is your reaction to that? And we can start with Tom. Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lou Ferrara is a respected member of the bar. His advice is sound advice, and that was something I tell my clients all the time. What the public safety concern that will be addressed is that DMV has a separate process of taking someone's license. And if you refuse the test, it's possible that you could lose your license for up to a year for refusing the test. That's, if there's a public safety concern, if somebody's under the influence, they won't be driving for a year. But as a criminal defense attorney, I would never suggest to a client to incriminate himself or herself. That's your constitutional right. And that is very important to all criminal defense attorneys. So whether you speak or whether you perform tests, that is subject to self-incrimination and take the risk of losing your license for a year.
So get to Adam. Adam, doesn't that kind of like, you know, shoot down the whole idea that, oh, we have tests for this?
Well, no. And the reason why is, you know, you can still be arrested even while refusing those tests. You know, just as an example, if an officer pulls over a person and they can smell an overwhelming odor of alcohol coming from the car, the person has bloodshot and glassy eyes, you can see alcohol bottles in the car, and when the officer has them step out, they trip over their own feet and you're
yeah.
That person's probably going to get arrested. And then what that officer would do is he would then file for a warrant for a blood draw. And if the officer gets a warrant for the blood draw, the person doesn't have the option of refusing that blood draw. So if the officer is able to make observations that rise to the level of probable cause and also rise to the level where he can get a warrant to do a testing, and this could be for alcohol or any other substance, they're still going to do that test. The reason why Lou gave that advice was, you know, you want to give the police as little as possible if you're under suspicion. So his advice was to give them as little as possible to work with, but there's still means of collecting evidence. They
right.
still collect that evidence.
Adam Wendett, an attorney, DUI attorney, criminal attorney, and Tom Donovan, also a DUI and other criminal activity attorney. I don't know how to say it. He's just criminal attorneys. And when we come back, guys, hang on, please. When we come back, I'd like to get your last word, as we did have AAA Mid-Atlantic on recently talking about their concerns about legalizing marijuana. I'd love to get your take as well. Upstate 529-1017, Downstate 839-1059. That's one of the biggest issues in Delaware, not just societally, but also when it comes to revenue. You know, we're looking at, what is it, $400 million now in the red? And every time we get a DFAC report, there's more millions of dollars that we're going to have to spend, but we don't have. And so, you know, what do you do? And legalizing marijuana is one way to bring in millions of dollars. There's a lot of debate as to how many millions that would be directly through fees, tariffs, and revenue, and how much would be ancillary, and how much would be marijuana tourism until Maryland and Virginia and other states decide to legalize as well. So we can get to that, but right now we've got Adam Wendett on and Tom Donovan. They're both criminal attorneys who deal with a lot of DUIs. And Adam, I want to get the last word from you guys. So Adam, go right ahead on the bill tomorrow. Everyone presumes it's going to come out of committee to the House for a vote, as it should. But I just like to get your last word on why you support this and why it's important in Delaware.
You know, why I support this is, as a criminal defense attorney, you know, I was taught from the start of my education in this area that criminal law is intended to punish conduct which society deems unfit. And now with 61% of Delawareans and about 60% of the country supporting this, you know, I don't think it's something that should fall under the criminal law. Also, we have more and more science coming out that this is a plant that's less dangerous than alcohol and cigarettes. It just simply doesn't make sense to subject people to the criminal system. We've actually removed it from the criminal system with decriminalization, but consumers are still forced to go to a dangerous and illicit market to purchase, while the state spends millions enforcing cannabis laws and foregoes $20 million or more in tax revenue that would come from sales. You know, the question now is not, you know, do we create this market for cannabis? The market is already there. The question at this point is, who will have control of the market? Will it be gangs and criminal organizations, or will it be hardworking tax-paying business owners who run businesses in a taxed and regulated system?
All right, let's get to Tom and Tom's last word.
Well, I think Adam took a lot of what I would say. Prohibition doesn't work. We should learn from the mistakes we made with alcohol prohibition. All it did was increase crime and violent crime on the streets by putting an industry into the hands of violent gangs and cartels, and that's what's happening with the cannabis market now. The majority of Delawareans support a legal cannabis market. It'll be safe. We'll stop spending the $20 million that we're spending each year to enforce antiquated laws against possessing cannabis, then we'll raise $20, $40, $60 million and maybe more, depending on how long Delaware has that unique opportunity to be the first state on the East Coast to legalize cannabis.
All right, Tom Donovan, Adam Wendett, thank you for taking time. Now get back to work and make some money.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciate that. Now, your take is welcome as well. Upstate 529-1017, downstate 839-1059.